This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, الحمد لله, Allah سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله gave us a beautiful deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to learn it and to practice it. With the double benefit that when and if we, if and when we practice our deen, Islam, if we live by Islam, then we automatically become winners in this world, because what Islam proposes are things which are highly beneficial in this life itself. If we live like true Muslims, then in the context of this life, our life here, we will become the most popular, the most loved, therefore the most influential people on the face of the earth. I don't say the richest and the wealthiest, because that is not a criterion of anything at all except greed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alhamdulillah provides enough for us to live very comfortably, and chasing money is about the worst way of defining your life. But to be influential, to be able to do good around you, to be able to affect all those who share the earth with us in a positive way, these are things which are worth wanting and worth working for. And you will get all of these if you practice Islam. Now, this is not a wild claim of mine. This is not some, you know, something I'm saying out of my personal love for Islam. This is a proven fact, and history is witness to this. If we look at our history, the history of Muslims in the world, then we will find, quite literally, if you trace the good times of Muslims, where Muslims had influence, they had power, they had authority, all of those good times, without exception, are times when Muslims practiced Islam in the true sense. I'm not saying that every living Muslim at that time was practicing Islam at the level of Hasan Basri, Rahmatullah Ali, or Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, but generally speaking, the majority of them practiced Islam. Islam was important, living by Islam was important, and people believed that and they practiced Islam. And then if you trace the downward slide, the decline of Muslims in the world, once again, you can link it directly to the times when Muslims stopped practicing Islam. Right? When they stopped practicing Islam. When they started, and basically stopped practicing Islam means then they, when they started chasing money, they started chasing, they started building empires, and they were focused more on conquering lands or on gaining wealth, and all the accoutrements of wealth, all the stuff that comes with wealth. When they started doing that, that is when the decline of Muslims began in that part of the world. So therefore, the lesson for us today again is the same, which is that if we want a change in our situation, if we want a change in in how we see the world and how the world sees us, then we have to change the way we live and behave. If we live and behave according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us and told us and ordered us, which is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then insha'Allah al-musta'an, we not only will have nothing to fear, but insha'Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our condition. But if we don't do that, if we do the opposite of that, and we continue in our current focus on materialism at any cost, our current focus on trying to chase money at any cost, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including accepting a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by supporting and by participating in the interest-based economy, by borrowing money on interest, by lending money on interest, then what can we accept? What can we expect? Accept what we have and accept, anticipating that it will get worse, that the situations that we are facing today will actually become worse and more hard and more difficult. What else can we expect? I mean, there's nobody with half a brain who will tell you that we can expect anything better. To quote Albert Einstein, he said it's a sign of insanity to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. Right? He said it's a sign of insanity to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. We have been living in a particular way now for at least 500 years. Not one or two years. At least five centuries, if not more. The result of which we are seeing in our lives today, individually as well as collectively, nation after nation and globally, which is that we have become people who are the pariahs of the world. We are people who nobody likes, who nobody wants, who everyone is trying their best to get rid of. We have become people who the world fears, completely unnecessarily, but that's how they do. We are people who are the object of demonization. Now, I am not for a minute saying that we deserve all this. No, we don't. We do not deserve it. We are the victims of Islamophobia. We are the victims of some very well-orchestrated hate campaigns targeting Muslims. We have been made into the other. The position that was previously occupied by the communists in Russia, or further up back in history, the position that was occupied by the Jews all over Europe and everywhere else, where they were also demonized and they were also persecuted. Today we have inherited that. Now, what is the solution? The solution is to give the world a counter argument. When somebody is demonizing you, show an angelic face. What is our angelic face? The demon face somebody is creating. Let us create an angelic face. If we do not create an angelic face, then the demon face is the only face that the world sees. And that is what is happening to us today. At a global level, what does the world see? The world sees Muslims who are poor and who are oppressed and who are weak. We have the Uyghurs in China. We have the Rohingyas in Burma, in Myanmar, and so on and so forth. We have this face of people who are weak and oppressed and so on and so forth. But where Muslims have resources, where Muslims have money, what do we see? We see ostentation. We see showing off, we see useless spending, people paying millions of dollars for colored rocks. Right? Now, this makes no sense whatsoever, does it? So, we need to change that. If we don't change that, then believe me, my brothers and sisters, we are The story will not end because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and final messenger, last and final Nabi and Rasul, after whom there is no Nabi, no Rasul. And Allah sent us Muslims as the last and final Ummah, after which there is no Ummah. When Allah is ready for that, the Day of Judgment will be established. Now, in that situation, if we don't change ourselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only going to tighten the screws more and more until we change. Because nobody else is going to come. In the past, in the history of peoples, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced one ummat with another ummat, one group of people with another group of people. When a Nabi was sent to a people who were disobedient, and then they became obedient, and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them prominence and supported them. But when they declined, when they became disobedient and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another Nabi, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their condition He changed their condition where He changed the people. I mean, not the country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the people, and became and the new people were sent. So these people were removed. So Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Nabi to one group of people, and these people were disobedient. These people didn't change. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then removed those people, and Allah sent a different set of people. He changed the people. But with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the last and final of the messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu changed this whole thing, where now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to send any other Nabi, and he is not going to change or replace us with other people. So if we don't change ourselves, and if we do not follow the orders of Allah and the blessed Sunnah of Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to force us to do that. So one way in which you might like to look at the hardships that we are facing, it is as if the other people, the non-Muslim people in the world, are coming to us and saying, show us Islam. Show us Islam. Don't talk about Islam. Show us Islam. And if we don't show us Islam, then they are forcing, they're beating us and saying, show us Islam. Show us, show us, show us. That is the nature of the hardship. They're not trying to eliminate you. They're not trying to annihilate you. They're not trying to remove you from the face of the earth. They are telling you that if you don't change yourself, then we have to, we have to try to force you to do that. How do we get out of this? By becoming practicing Muslims. And as I say again and again and again 20 times, which is that the beauty of Islam is that by being Muslim, by living like Muslims, We get both. We get this world and we get the Akhirah. In this world, we can live as winners, as people who are beloved. And in the Akhirah, we will become beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the story of Musa alayhi salam is extremely important. And he's called, his title was Kalimullah, the one who spoke to Allah, or the one Allah spoke to. His story is the longest in the Quran. He is mentioned in 28 juz out of 30, and that is 124 times. One of the scholars said that the Quran was almost going to become the story of Musa. And why? Because he is also one of the Ulul Azm, of the Anbiya. But Ibrahim alayhi salam is greater, but is not mentioned as much. Now, when I say greater, please understand, we do not لا نفرق بين من حذر من من رسول من من أنبياء ومن وبين الرسل. We do not differentiate between the Anbiya and the Rusul. But in the sense of, you know, the what is called the father of the Anbiya alayhi salam, that title is given to Nuh alayhi salam, because after the flood, and then of course it's given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So but Musa alayhi salam is mentioned a lot. Now the several reasons why this happened, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these reasons. The first of them is that the last Muslim ummah is the Bani Israel, and is closest to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the one reason. The ummah before us were the Bani Israel. And now imagine, remember, Bani Israel, they are not called Bani Musa. They are called Bani Israel because these people were the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and sent prophets to even before Musa alayhi salam. Because Israel is the other name of Ishaq alayhi salam, the second son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail and Ishaq. And the other name of Ishaq alayhi salam is Israel. So we have Bani Ismail and Bani Israel. So Bani Israel are those people. Now they had prophets before Musa alayhi salam, like Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam and all that. And so therefore and many others. So that's why they're not called Bani Musa, even though Musa alayhi salam was the was one of the major prophets for them. And he also came with a book, of course, on Dawud alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam. All of these are prophets of Bani Israel. And Dawud alayhi salam came with the Zabur. But the within quotes, the big book and the Sharia came with Musa alayhi salam, which is the Torah. Isa alayhi salam also was a prophet of the Bani Israel. So Bani Israel are people who were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned that they are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored greatly by sending all these great messengers and prophets. And then they were replaced by the Bani Ismail, who were the Muslims who came with the, for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Sayyidul Anbiya, the Imam al-Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his final and greatest kitab, Al-Quran al-Kareem. So he sent his greatest Nabi, the leader and the Imam of all the Anbiya, and he sent his final revelation, which is the Quran al-Kareem, and that came to us. So the last Muslim ummah before our people is the Bani Israel, and therefore these are the people who are the closest to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their history is extremely rich in events, mistakes, conflicts, all the good and bad they did. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to benefit, to have the benefits of these events to learn from. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a lot of them in his kalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that we would make the same mistakes. He said that we will follow their tracks and even enter into the same hole that they entered into. And the Sahaba asked if he meant the Jews and the Christians, which were the Bani Israel, and he said, who else? Now, this is a prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This does not mean that we must do that. This is a prophecy to warn us not to do that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, do not do or do not make the mistakes that they made, because obviously the whole point of studying history is to learn from mistakes. We do not learn from the mistakes. We do not read about the mistakes in order to condemn those people and say, oh, what stupid people and so on. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that here are people who were just like us and who committed mistakes. And because now we are looking at it several after the mistake, you know, several centuries in this case, we are able to see the whole picture. The people taking a bad decision, the problem with decisions at the time of taking the decision is that you don't know how it will turn out. Now, if you use your intelligence, if you read history, if you learn lessons, if you can critically look at yourself, then you can predict some of the possible outcomes. Obviously, I mean, you know, if you're doing something dumb, good thing can't come out of it. But the biggest benefit is that if you are looking at reading the history of some other people, then you can see now what they did and what happened. So the whole picture is clear in front of you. And that is the reason why we should read history. Whatever history we read, see what people did and see what came out as a result, so that we can avoid doing the wrong. If they did something good, alhamdulillah, by all means follow that. But if they did something wrong, then you avoid that. You warn yourself. That, you know, jaise kehte hain urdu mein kehte hain agla gira pichla hoshiyar. So the first person in front, if the people walking in one, in a single file, the person in front trips over something, the one behind, he now knows that, oh, there's something there that I can trip over. Now if the second person also trips over that, it means he has not learnt anything. It means he is walking blind, right? Makes no sense. So that is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, gave this prophecy, he said, you are going to make the same mistakes. That doesn't mean we need to make it. He's saying, do not make the same mistakes. Then, since the Torah was revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Bani Israel then the permission to fight. And so they also fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory over their enemies, and so did the Muslims. So this is combined or similar parts of history. Now, two parts of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam and the Fir'aun, and Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel. Now, Fir'aun, this is the hereditary title that was given to the rulers of the Egyptian dynasty, the Pharaonic dynasty. Egypt was in two parts, the upper and lower Nile, and at one point these two were joined together to form what was perhaps one of, if not the oldest, most powerful and wealthiest of kingdoms that ever existed. Egypt was unique. So this was ruled over by a single man who was called the Pharaoh, who was called Fir'aun. And usually it was a man. There are like at the time of Julius Caesar, Cleopatra was the Pharaoh, but she also ruled. Ptolemy was the Pharaoh before her, and so some of it was, part of it was Ptolemy's rule. But anyway, usually it was Pharaoh was a man. So this single person ruling, as they say, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think this is probably this is true of practically every ruler, every king. I'm saying practically because they were honest and they were just monarchs as well. But by and large, when a human being is given this much of authority and this much of obeisance and this much of wealth, it corrupts them. And this is what happened with the pharaohs of Egypt, and the Fir'aun became a symbol of tyranny and dictatorship to the extent that like the word Caesar means king, the word Fir'aun means tyrannical dictator. Fir'auniyat. In Urdu, we have this term Fir'auniyat. Fir'auniyat is the tendency to be dictatorial and tyrannical. Right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every ummah has a Fir'aun, and the Fir'aun of my ummah is Abu Jahl. So again, you know, he doesn't mean that in a like a Fir'aun as in the ruler, but Fir'aun as in tyrannical, being a dictator, being supremely arrogant. The story of Fir'aun and Musa also teaches us how to deal with oppression, especially when it is in the form of oppressive rulers, and where the oppression comes from the throne, from governments and so on. The second part of the, so this is one part of the story of Musa alayhi salam, which is Musa alayhi salam and the Fir'aun. The second part of the story of Musa alayhi salam is how Musa alayhi salam dealt with his people, the Bani Israel. And this has lessons for us in terms of problems in our own ummah today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that they would be also that, you know, eventually they would also oppose Muslims, and you know, they would be inimical to Muslims. So therefore it's important to understand and to learn from this history. Alhamdulillah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Tasin mim. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. Natulu alayka min nabai Musa wa Fir'aun bil haqqi liqaumin yu'minun. إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين. الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned in Surah Al-Qasas, Taseen Meem, these are the Huruf Al-Muqatta'at, the meaning of which is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the kitab, in the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the ayat of the manifest book, the clear book, which makes truth clear from falsehood, which differentiates between good and evil, by which is mentioned the Quran al-Kareem. We recite to you some of the news of Musa and Fir'aun in truth, bil-haq, for a people who believe, that is, those who believe in the Quran, and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Tawheed. Verily, Fir'aun exalted himself in the land and made its people sects, weakening a group, that is Bani Israel, among them, killing their sons and letting their females, daughters live. Verily, he was one of the Mufsidun, people who create fasad, that is people who commit great crimes, and oppressors and tyrants and so on. Now, the lesson from this. Now, first and foremost, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, bil haqq. So, this is true. This is true news of Musa and Fir'aun. Alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. For the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the political situation at the time. Fir'aun was so powerful that he declared himself to be divine. Now again, this is something which is not restricted to Fir'aun. There were many, many, many kings, and I am ashamed to say that, including Muslim kings who declared themselves to be divine, who allowed people or who subjected people or who forced people to make sajda to them, who either accepted or allowed or compelled people to worship them. There are many kings. And as I said, unfortunately also Muslim kings. But in this case, we are talking about Fir'aun. So he was so powerful that he declared himself to be divine. He was a god. He declared himself. Later on, the Romans did the same thing. You know, they called themselves god. They built temples for themselves and so on and so on. Anyway, to come back to the story, so Firaun was so powerful that he declared himself to be divine. He divided the people into different castes and he ruled people through this method. The Bani Israel, they started, as we say, you know, from the time of which is Ishaq alayhi salam. But in Egypt, they started with Yusuf alayhi salam and with his brothers, and they say that there were about 600,000 of them in Egypt at the time that Musa alayhi salam, this period where we're talking about, so 600,000 people. Now they say that it is said that Firaun, he saw a dream in which he saw a fire come out of Palestine and sweep through Egypt, destroying everything except the houses of Bani Israel. So his interpreters, now one of the things about the Egyptian people, they were idol worshippers. They had a very elaborate mythological religion. With multiple gods and temples to them. If you go to Luxor in Egypt today, the big tourist spot with lots of temples. They say that there is there's actually a connection between the gods of Egypt, the gods of Greece, who were then later on adopted by the Romans. The Romans just took the same gods and changed their names, and the gods of the Hindus in India. So these are three major polytheistic religions with multiple gods and goddesses, with the difference that in Egypt, all those gods and goddesses were Egyptian, and in Greek, they were all Greek. In Greece, with the Romans, they all became Romans, and in India, they are all Indians, men and women, if you look at, you know, the whole pantheon. Now, so in Egypt, Firaun saw this dream that a fire comes out of Palestine and burns everything except the houses of Bani Israel. So this religion of theirs had priests, it had magicians, it had astrologers, because they were big on astronomy, and so they had astrologers, they used fortune tellers. All of this was a big thing in Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt were very famous all over the world for their very, very powerful magic. And I'm not talking about, party card tricks. I'm talking about some serious stuff. Even to this day, people who, we don't have those kinds of magicians today, but people who do magic and so on, out for amusement and, you know, whatnot, and who read about it, even to this day, they say that the kind of magic that the magicians of Egypt did is unparalleled. I mean, nobody in history did that kind of magic. And the reason I'm mentioning all of this in detail is because that's an important part of the whole story. Inshallah, we'll come to that. So, when Firaun saw this dream, he put it to his astrologers, he put it to his interpreters. And they said that a man will arise among these people, the Bani Israel, who will destroy Firaun and his army and rule. So this is the interpretation of the dream that the magicians and the astrologers and the dream interpreters of Firaun gave to him. Now see the Firauniyat of Firaun. See the oppressiveness of his rule. See how powerful he must have been and how completely and totally ruthless. So when the interpreter said to him that a man will arise out of Bani Israel who will destroy you and destroy your kingdom and destroy your rule, Firaun said very simple, kill all their men, kill all their male children. Now, can you believe it? I mean, in today's age, even though people are powerful, I don't think there is anybody who can give that. Either there are people who probably want to do that, but I don't think there's anybody who can actually give that order and make it stick. The Pharaoh did that. So he ordered that every male child born to the people of Bani Israel was to be slaughtered. So his spies, and again, this is a sign of defeated people, of a slave mentality, because the spies of Pharaoh were in the Bani Israelim themselves. So there were people who were spying on their own people and communicating that information to the enemy. So his spies would put every pregnant woman under surveillance, and as soon as she gave birth, if it was a boy, he would be killed, and if it was a girl, it would be she would be left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Allah said, and we wished to do a favor to those who were weak and oppressed in the land, and to make them rulers and to make them the inheritors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to strengthen those who were oppressed and to free them from oppression. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants supersedes what everyone or anyone else wants. Allah said, and to establish them in the land, we let Fir'aun and Haman and their hosts receive from them which they feared. Right? Now, the lesson from this is very simple to explain, but this is something that we need to ingrain into ourselves. And that is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do something, He will do it with His power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not... does not need to hide. Allah does not need to deceive anybody. Allah does not need to pretend something to be something else. Allah does it with His power. So He did not hide Musa from Pharaoh and his people. He allowed them to recognize Musa alayhi salam, to hold Musa alayhi salam in their arms, knowing who they were holding, yet they could not kill him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not willed that to happen. We will look at this whole story in detail in our next class, inshallah, because this is it's a very important story, and it's a story that we need to study, and we will, inshallah, look at that in detail. For the moment, inshallah, I ask you to think about this and to reflect on it, and inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which does not please Him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.